This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Thursday, October 20th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll take a look at statewide trends in down-ballot items through a new tool to track local initiatives. And the Cannabis Report brings us up to speed on some of the biggest marijuana ballot measures facing voters in Colorado and across the country next month. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, and then it's time for Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. Her guest this month is John Robinson Miller IV, Associate Director of CU Boulder's Center for African and African American Studies. At 9:30, the Groove Thief will be in the Groove Thief will be in the Denver studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, the headlines with KGNU's Claire Purnell.
The Denver Public School Board has approved criteria to close schools with low enrollment numbers. The measures could affect several elementary and middle schools in the Denver area. District administrators have not identified the schools by name, but first up for closures are schools with fewer than 215 enrolled students. Schools with fewer than 275 students, where enrollment is expected to decline, may also have to close their doors. DPS receives per capita funding, and with the significant decline in enrollment, administrators say these schools cannot provide the same resources for students like social services or specialized programming. Some identify the rapidly rising cost of living in Denver as a factor in dropping enrollment, as families move out of city limits in search for more affordable housing. Former immigration detainees scored a victory in a long-running federal court battle against the GEO group this week. A federal district court judge in Colorado ruled their class action suit against the for-profit prison company can go to a jury trial. The plaintiffs argue the GEO group in charge of the Aurora ICE detention facility violated federal prohibitions against forced labor by making detainees work at the facility for pay as low as $1 per day. Attorneys for the plaintiffs say Senior District Judge John Kane of the Federal District Court for the District of Colorado held that the GEO Group's government contracting position does not shield the company from liability or from the public scrutiny of a jury trial. The Longmont City Clerk's Office is accepting applications for the Longmont Housing Advisory Board. There are currently 5 vacancies. Longmont's Housing Authority Advisory Board advises the Longmont Housing Authority Board of Commissioners to provide safe and affordable housing to income-qualified households in Longmont. According to a press release, board members would serve as community connectors, helping to engage residents. Visit Longmont's housing website for more information about applying. The United States Mint will start shipping out new quarters featuring the image of a groundbreaking Chinese-American actress. Luis Lincoln from KGNU has more.
The U.S. Mint will begin to ship the first U.S. currency coin to featuring an Asian American today. The new coin features Anna Mae Wong, a Chinese American actress who was a prominent figure in the 1920s and 30s. The new coin comes as part of the American Woman Quarter Program and is in collaboration between the U.S. Mint and the National Women's History Museum. Congress directed the Mint to identify prominent American women in American history to honor on a series of quarter dollars over the next couple of years. Emily Damstra, the Artistic Infusion Program Designer for the U.S. Mint, said to Newsbreak, many prominent actors from the 1920s and 1930s saw their name framed by light bulbs on movie theater marquees, so I thought it made sense to feature Anna Mae Wong in this way. The Mint will also feature other women on the coins in the next couple of months, including Nina Otero Warren, Sally Ride, Wilma Mankiller, and Maya Angelou. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
A conference focusing on the decade of indigenous languages begins tonight at the University of Colorado's Law School. KGNU's John Kellen reports.
The 54th Algonquian Conference aims to battle language loss in indigenous cultures. Speakers will address both the causes of language loss and the best ways to preserve them through reforms to law and policy. The United Nations declared the International Decade of Indigenous Languages to address the dire situation of indigenous language loss around the world. The conference is being held in the Whitmire Courtroom at the CU Law School. Speakers from the United Nations, the U.S., and Canada will present in all areas of linguistics relating to Algonquin languages. The conference runs through this Sunday. For KGNU, I'm John Kellen.
A giraffe was born in the Denver Zoo. KGNU's Jimmy Searfoss has more.
The Cheyenne Mountain Zoo gained a new calf Wednesday as Bailey the giraffe gave birth to a baby girl. The baby was on its feet moments after being born, which, according to zookeepers, indicates a healthy young giraffe. The baby is Bailey's second child, but her dad, Khalid, has seven other children. The calf is the 17th giraffe in the zoo's herd. The zoo live-streamed the birth, and you can go check that out on our Facebook page to watch. For KGNU, this is Jimmy Searfoss.
Expect sunny weather today across the Front Range. In Boulder, a high of 80 and a low of 48. In Denver, a high of 82 and a low of 45. And in Fort Collins, a high of 81 and a low of 41. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Ballots are arriving in Colorado mailboxes this week, and the language can vary depending on jurisdictional lines. Keeping up with what's on the local ballots can get a bit confusing, especially in areas where municipalities and counties are right up against each other. Or, in the case of KGNU, we cover a Boulder issue on a signal that extends beyond those jurisdictional lines. But there's a new tool available for keeping track of the local ballot issues within the state. The Colorado Health Foundation launched its local ballot measure tracker this week. Joining me now to discuss the details is Kyle Rojas Leglider, Senior Director of Policy Advocacy at the Colorado Health Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So this new tool is available at coloradohealth.org and has both a visual chart style presentation as well as a spreadsheet type of table. What was the impetus behind compiling all of this information into this type of project?
So the impetus really started from us grappling with the complexity of ballots here in Colorado that you mentioned. So for some of the things that appear before voters in every cycle, there's some consistency on our ballots, regardless of where you live in Colorado. So the big statewide elected offices like governor, secretary of state, state treasurer, those kinds of things, you know, appear more or less the same, regardless of what specific community you happen to call home in Colorado. And then usually in every cycle in Colorado, there's a handful of statewide ballot measures where voters get to decide directly on specific policy questions. This year's general election in 2022, there are 11 statewide questions that regardless of the community that you call home, we'll all see those same set of 11 on our ballots this year. But then once you go move further down the ballot, you could have lots of additional questions or a few additional questions, depending on the specific lines and boundaries that you happen to live in at whatever your address is or where you're registered to vote here in Colorado. And that can vary quite a bit. And we here at the Colorado Health Foundation believe that all of these questions are actually really important. They ultimately impact what quality of life looks like in the community that you call home, not just now in 2022, but potentially for years or generations to come. So we created this local ballot measure tracker tool to make it easier for people to see not just what's appearing on their own ballot, but also get a sense of what their neighbors in different parts of the state might be voting on this year as well.
Something that was surprising to me, seeing the table, right, or seeing the chart, is that the top issue has to do with tax reform and charter amendments and marijuana. Give us a flavor of what some of these tax reform issues are across local jurisdictions.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we hope that this tool helps to create greater visibility into. So as I mentioned, there's 11 common statewide ballot measures that are appearing before voters in 2022, but there's actually hundreds of different local level questions that are appearing before voters in different cities, counties, special districts across Colorado as well. And we're able to sort on the tracker by specific topic measures. And so this year, when we did that sorting, the things that we labeled as tax reform questions are the most common ones heading before voters in local jurisdictions across the state. There are 35 different measures of tax reform appearing before voters in different communities in Colorado. And there's actually a reason behind that that's fairly common across those different sort of tax questions are heading to voters. And that is that there are provisions in Colorado's state constitution that require specific changes to tax policy in our state, whether those are statewide changes or local level changes, to go directly before voters themselves. So in some cases, these tax reform measures are local tax increases or changes to tax policies and all that as well, because your city council, your county commission can't independently make those decisions. They have to refer those measures and those kinds of potential policy changes directly to the people so that the people get to vote on those measures too. So while that's the most common by number sort of topic or theme on local level measures this year, that's actually not unusual. And what we've seen across different election cycles in Colorado is because voters are the only ones who can decide that kind of policy in Colorado, it becomes a fairly frequent thing that voters are asked to weigh in on.
Was there anything in particular when you were compiling this information that surprised you to see it once it was kind of collated into this infographic type of format?
Yeah, one of the things that jumps out at us when we look at it this year is there's essentially two different paths that ballot measures can find their way before voters in a general election. One is the signature collection route. So voters, groups of citizens in a local community or across the state of Colorado can go through a signature collection process to put a question directly on the ballot if they collect enough signatures and go through all the steps that are required to have a citizen-initiated measure on the ballot. The other path that questions can take to appear on a ballot is to have a government body essentially call a question and ask voters to decide on that question directly. And that can happen in the case of the state legislature referring a statewide question to voters. And that's the origin story of some of those 11 statewide ballot measures that are appearing in the 2022 cycle for voters. But it's also the story behind a lot of these local level measures as well. So actually the breakdown in 2022 is about 9 out of 10 of the local ballot measures appearing before people were questions that your city council, your county commission, or some other government entity is asking you as voters that they serve to decide directly on this policy question. And it's only 9% of the local ballot measures that are going to appear before people that actually made their way onto the ballot because they were initiated outside of government structures by citizens themselves going through that signature collection process.
Colorado Health Foundation put out a poll earlier this year, the Pulse poll, which we covered, that identified some of the top areas of concern for voters. Did that help to inform the development of this tool?
Yeah, it helped us to sort these hundreds of different local ballot measure questions into categories and sort of sort this information in ways that we believe is how people are thinking about what are top concerns in the communities that they live in directly, but then also the state more generally. So for example, on our annual Pulse poll this year, we ask people to tell us what they think the top issue of concern for Colorado is, what's keeping them up at night, essentially. And the thing that we heard overwhelmingly this year and this year's poll is that 86% of people in Colorado are very concerned about the affordability of housing in our state. And we actually see that reflected in the questions they're making their way before voters in sort of these local ballot measure questions in communities across the state of Colorado. So shortly behind tax reform questions that we talked about already, where there's 35 of those tax measures across different jurisdictions in Colorado, housing related measures are actually one of the other most common topics that we're seeing on local ballots across communities in Colorado. There's 23 different local level measures related to housing policy in some shape or form appearing before local voters here in Colorado this year. In some cases, it's the specific question is about regulation of short-term rental properties as an example, but in other cases, it's about the rights of renters compared to landlords or to fund the construction of specific housing projects to create more housing supply in communities where there may not be enough housing to go around currently.
And it's not just this local ballot measure tracker that was launched this week, but also the Colorado School Finance Project election tracker. Tell me about that one as well.
Yeah, so we actually partner with another organization called the Colorado School Finance Project, which monitors education policy across the state of Colorado as well. And in a similar exercise, they help to keep track of what school districts are putting before local voters as well. So school districts oftentimes end up having to refer questions to voters related to capital construction, sort of facility maintenance, or sort of ongoing operations of school districts. So things like teacher pay, the programs and services that are available in your local school district as well. A lot of the length of the ballot that you might be seeing in your inbox or in your mailbox this week, some of the length is driven by what your local school board and your local school district is putting before the voters in their community as well. So in addition to these measures that are sort of city level or county level as well, this tracker is another one-stop shop for you to see, not just in your own local school district, but in other school districts across the state, the kinds of questions related to education that people will be voting on in November this year, too.
Kyle Rojas Leglider of the Colorado Health Foundation, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hanalee Myers, and as always, I'm joined by longtime cannabis correspondent Leland Rucker. Leland, thanks so much for being here.
Always good.
Okay, so it is election season, and so you're going to give us a look at what's happening with cannabis. What can we expect this year as we're going into voting?
Yeah, I found it interesting. There's nothing on state ballots. There's no questions or initiatives on state ballots concerning marijuana. For the elections next month, please vote. Everybody should vote. But there is one in Colorado Springs. And voters will decide on a pair of local ordinances, the first to determine whether or not to allow the city's existing medical cannabis dispensaries to transition into adult-use retailers, and the second asks voters to approve a 5% local tax on sales involving those products. And Colorado Springs, I remember, they have several medical shops that they've had even before legalization. But the city itself has not okayed adult shops, which means any adult shop near Colorado Springs is a big seller because people like marijuana. We always keep saying that, and that people in Colorado Springs do too.
So to clarify real quick, they had medical shops before recreational, and now there's no recreational marijuana in Colorado Springs. So,
no. And that's what they're voting on is whether to allow that. And, you know, other states are making the effort to legalize finally. President Joe Biden announced pardons for anyone who had committed a federal crime who merely used cannabis. And that's a start. It's a good start, but that's probably as far as he's going to go. I doubt if he'll go too much further, and he hasn't changed his position on legal marijuana since in the last 20 years, so I don't think he's going to do much. But several states are trying to get legalized cannabis for adults. In Arkansas, groups handed in more than double the signatures needed to qualify for the ballot, and days later, the Board of Elections Commissioners voted to deny the ballot title, saying that it doesn't accurately reflect the true scope of the initiative and that some elements of the proposal might be confusing to voters. Yeah. But Arkansas advocates then filed a lawsuit with the state Supreme Court challenging that decision, and justices have ruled that the proposal must appear on the election ballot, but they have yet to determine whether the votes will be counted.
Huh.
So we'll see what happens there in Arkansas. In Maryland, lawmakers approved legislation placing a constitutional amendment before voters on the question of legalizing marijuana for adults. State lawmakers also approved another complementary legislation which defines marijuana possession limits and facilitates the automatic review and expungement of past criminal records. That's a good thing. but there are no provisions for establishing rules and regulations, so the legislature's going to have to settle that later. So again, it'll take a few years there. Missouri voters are facing a citizens' initiative to allow adults to buy and use marijuana while allowing criminal records to be expunged. That one is about 50-50. Advocates say the measure will broaden industry participation to include small business owners and disadvantaged populations, but some pro-cannabis groups don't think it goes far enough, so they're against it. And it also makes some improvements to the state's existing medical marijuana access program, which Missouri voters voted in a few years ago. North Dakota voters face a ballot initiative, which would allow adults to possess up to 1 ounce of cannabis and cultivate up to 3 plants in their homes. It's going to create a process for licensing retail cannabis stores, product manufacturers, testing laboratories. We need all that stuff, and other types of cannabis businesses. And it directs regulators to establish rules and implement the adult use cannabis program by October 1st, 2023. So North Dakota is quite a ways off. But in South Dakota, right there, for the second consecutive election, voters in South Dakota are going to decide on a ballot measure to legalize marijuana. The Republican governor, Kristi Noem, and others have stymied the industry thus far. They've come up with ways to stop it, to slow it, and so now they have to vote again on it. This one allows adults to possess up to 1 ounce and home cultivate three plants, but it doesn't seek to establish a regulatory framework, so it's still going to take a while there. And finally, in Oklahoma, a state that made medical cannabis legal a few years ago, it's a red state, made it very easy to get a license and to grow cannabis and to sell cannabis, but they're going to have to wait till next year. This just happened this week. They're going to ask voters on a special election on March 7th because the signature verification process took twice as long as they thought it would. They had a different one. And the governor claims that voters were misled when they previously approved medical cannabis legalization. They didn't, but that's what the Republicans like to say. And in June, he signed legislation which imposed a moratorium on the issuance of any new cannabis business licenses. It had been crazy there before. So this is just going to slow that. And he said he personally opposes legalizing marijuana, but he will go with the vote of the people. And I talked to a person down there last year about this time, and I asked him about the legalization effort. And he said, "We don't need it. Anybody can get a card, and until recently, a license to sell it." So there are things going on around the country. We'll see what happens.
It's so interesting to see every state doing it kind of their own way, which in one sense is nice. It's kind of a build your own and what fits your community.
Soon we may have 50 states all with different rules and regulations.
And that is odd, isn't it?
But the other side to it is, you know, the federal legislation is close or closer, but that would create the same kinds of problems. I mean, every state is different. So
it does seem like there's a whole lot of watching what everyone else is doing and picking the parts that you like and leaving the parts that don't. And sometimes that's problematic and sometimes it's not. And that's
great. You know, a lot of Colorado legislators have been called by people in other legislatures, you know, asking about that very thing. What's good about legalization? What hasn't worked? And, you know, Colorado has been a state that, you know, for instance, at the beginning, there was a problem with edibles and the state took care of that. But I also talked to a legislator and I said, how long are they going to continue to make little changes in the marijuana laws? And he says, well, we're still doing it for alcohol.
Yep, that's a long road ahead still.
Long road ahead. This is going to be long.
All the more reason to get it right every chance possible. So Leland, thank you for keeping us in the loop. And you can catch the Cannabis Report the first and third Thursday of every month here on KGNU. Thanks, Leland.
Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Claire Purnell, Luis Licon, Alexis Kenyon, Jimmy Searfoss, John Kellen, Rosanna Longobetter, Leland Rucker, and Hanley Myers for their contributions to today's program.
Today is National Community Media Day. KGNU provides access to training resources and facilities for local media makers to produce original programs by and for the community. Our next volunteer training will take place virtually on Thursday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. Sign up at kgnu.org. If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a voicemail at 303-447-9911. We play those messages back Tuesdays during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for Black Talk with Michelle Simpson just after the news headlines from the BBC.